Hey everyone, and welcome back to the We and Me podcast. This is Erica here, and today we're very excited because we have Stuart and Nicola with us today. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Well done.
Woohoo! So for our listeners out there, we had the opportunity to meet with Stuart and Nicola at the event that we participated in through April and SigNot Week up in Barrie back in October. Thanks for joining us today, guys.
Oh, our pleasure. My pleasure.
Thank you.
So I want to go ahead and jump right in here so our listeners can get a better idea of who you guys are, why we asked you to come on the podcast. Stuart, do you want to go ahead and talk and share a little bit about the work that you do?
Okay, well, first off, my name is Stuart, and I'm not afraid to say my last name. My name is Stuart Thompson. Okay. And as far as the work that I do, I'm an IT guy.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I didn't actually know that about you. I know you through Twitter and the work that you do for trauma survivors in childhood.
Oh, but yes, I do that as well, but that's my day job.
Very cool. I am definitely going to keep that in the back of my mind for next time I have a problem, because as we were just discussing, I am not technologically savvy.
But the Gatehouse is actually, I really wouldn't call that a job, but what I do there is I volunteer. And I went back there, I've been part of the Gatehouse since 2011. I went there as a participant. I needed help because I was a train wreck out of control, and went there, and they helped me help myself, and I've been there ever since.
Very cool.
And with them helping me help myself allowed me to help back to others. So it was kind of like a blessing in disguise, and always for me. And what I love about it is I've made a huge connection with so many people. You know, not just with what we do at the Gatehouse, but with a whole bunch of other things dealing with mental health. And I'm just honored to be part of it because I've learned so much. And it's funny because, you know, you learn all these things about when you're struggling with your own issues and you're really not really too sure. But when you finally do figure it out, it's a beautiful thing. Or rather, it's been that way in my case anyway, where I've been able to take it as a gift and sure. and help others with it.
Yeah, that's great that you're able to use some of your own experiences and then moving forward with an organization like the Gatehouse. I think it's great that they exist, first of all. So for people who don't know much about the Gatehouse, can you share a little bit more about them, like where they're located and the type of assistance that they offer for people?
Yeah, I guess I really should have said that from the beginning, and my apologies. Okay, well, first off, the Gatehouse is for survivors of childhood sexual abuse, and they've been around since 1998. And, 20 years, actually, this year, we celebrated 20 years. We offer a wide range of resources, not just in peer support, in referral services to other fields in medical fields, so that if you need further assistance and help, whether it be addictions, for example, if you require more therapy, like with a psychologist or therapist or something along that line, we'll point you in that direction, help you in that direction, find the right place, or help you find the right place, whatever case it may be. And as far as the programs we have at the Gatehouse, and this is really a wonderful thing, what I like about it, I went there, like I said, when I started back there in 2011, as a participant, I did a men's program, which was 15 weeks.
Okay.
And it's a commitment. It's once a week. And I get, like I say, it was all peer support to begin with. And you're never told what we should or shouldn't do. If we want to talk about something, well, this is a beautiful place because anybody in there, you're talking about something. In most cases, in my experience, everybody can relate to your experience in some way or fashion, depending on, regardless of their trauma, it doesn't make any difference.
Right.
And it's been beautiful because making that type of connection, being myself as well. But the programs they have, like I just mentioned with the men's program, they also have a women's program there as well. Hopefully Nicola will talk about it a little bit as well with her experience. But they also have a women's program, which is the same idea, 15 weeks. And then to help further yourself along, they have what they call a phase two program, which is a 16-week program. And what we really focus on there in your healing recovery is we talk about mindfulness, we talk about pause, we talk about gratitude, and we try to kind of make some sense of all the shit that we've kind of, excuse my language, all the shit that we've had to endure all these years and not really knowing what to do with it or where to handle it or how to place it or to do anything with it. And this is the beautiful thing is that in this process, it helps you find shelves, if I can use that terminology, to place things on. So when you look at it and say, okay, well, I can deal with it now or not deal with it and move on to the next thing. Because, you know, when you're dealing with this sort of trauma, obviously it affects everybody differently, but everybody's healing experience is also different as well in time and fashion and all the ways. One must be mindful of that process as well. But just the beautiful thing about the phase two program is it guides you through that process with lots of support. And again, if you need further one-on-one support from one of the senior facilitators, it's always there for you as well. So there's lots of support. And, you know, we even have a drop-in once a week. So that if you are not in a group setting, and by the way, that is co-ed, by the way, for the phase two program, which I talked about, the open door, what I'm talking about as well. I should point out, too, that would be an adjustment as well for most, as men don't feel safe with women and women don't feel safe with men. So right. It can be a very interesting process sometimes, and actually very good, because I know in my experience being abused on both sides, I have huge trust issues. So it was good for me, helping me in my healing experience, as an example. And what I love about this place, it just keeps going on and on. And we have a partners program as well. So if you are in an intimate relationship, or even if you're not, and someone, a really good friend or your partner is helped you through this process and does not understand or have a clue what the hell's going on, but yet they've stuck around and, you know, tried to be compassionate and understand and help you along the way, but this is just to help them along the way a little bit more as well.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It sounds like they have a very well-rounded variety of programs to offer assistance for people. That's very important.
Stuart also trains the suicide intervention training as well. He's a trainer for that.
Cool.
And that's a really good program too. It's like two-day workshop. Yeah, so I don't know if you wanted to... Okay.
But they offer lots of different programs. We even have art therapy. And I was just admiring your work in the background.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For our listeners, a lot of the time, I know that you know we do the video chat and Skype and stuff. Yeah. So people always comment on all the stuff around my room, our room.
It looks great.
Thank you. I'm looking right now behind me. And the only painting that I actually created is that one right there.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, wow.
The rest of them, my parts created.
Beautiful.
Pretty cool, though. Thank
you. So like I say, the Gatehouse has a wide range of things that they do. And one thing I should really point out, and this is really, really hard for most people, this is actually very, very important to what I'm telling you about here now, about what they offer, is one of the only places in Canada, actually the only place in Canada, that offers a place to you can bring children that have been that abused to the place, and where the police are not wearing uniforms, and the CAS is not in uniform. Nobody's in uniform. It's a very, very safe place. And if you look on my Twitter account, you'll see I always post pictures about that. And actually, the Gatehouse website, actually just thegatehouse.org, and you will see pictures of the house and how friendly it is. That would be a safe place that you would bring your children or bring anybody there and not feel threatened with them there. So we're the only place literally in Canada that I'm aware of that does this type of investigation and off a main facility other than a police station, because typically they're done in police stations or in institutions where they're done at.
Mm-hmm. The investigation room actually is very child friendly. There's like cozy couches and there's children's teddies and dolls and all sorts of things, books and things that they can play with. So it looks very, very homely to a child. In fact, the house itself is very, very homely and cozy, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the whole vibration is set up to sort of nurture the inner child as well as for children as well, right? So we get quite a few different police departments. There's Peel Region Police, there's Toronto Police, there's several different agencies that actually use it. So it is a really good tool for them.
Yeah, that's fantastic. We have a place in Chicago that's similar to that. It's not a house, but in the way that it is designed, it is very much a safe child environment, and where they do a lot of these sexual abuse investigations and that sort of thing. So the child can feel more safe and secure, and not that they're, you know, in a room with a light and a like a metal table and that sort of environment, because that can be a horrible way to experience trying to get your own help when you're a child and you say something or somebody figures out something, and then you feel like you're in jail, you're in this precinct and it's your fault, and all of these different horrible thoughts go through your mind.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's really great that places like the Gatehouse exist to facilitate some of those things. Nicola, do you want to go ahead and share a little bit about your story, your background, what it is that you do?
Yeah, for sure. So I came to the house in a little bit of a different place, to be honest with you, because I had dealt with quite a large chunk of my healing. Not to say that the Gatehouse didn't help, because it certainly did, to recognizing some of the reasons why I act in certain ways and do certain things. But what kind of led me to be totally public, I guess, was the Jian Gamishi trial. I don't know if you heard much about that, but apparently he's a Canadian radio DJ, and he was quite high profile in Toronto.
Okay.
And he was allegedly, I have to say allegedly, but we know what we believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was quite harshly abusing women, but also there was a lot of violence involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess at the time I was actually living with a violent narcissist. In fact, I was with him for 30 years. So I guess it spoke to me.
Right.
And so back in 2014 was when I went totally public and set up a social networking account, which was Living With Abuse. Basically, I connected with the Gatehouse almost straight away, and that was with Stuart, because I guess Stuart was really one of my first followers. So we kind of networked that way, and networked with several other agencies and survivors. And then that led to me helping with a online domestic violence group as well as sexual abuse group. And then I set up my own website and different things. But then in 2017, at the beginning of last year, I decided I was going to get rid of my stalker. So I moved away 4 hours, and then I decided I wanted to volunteer at the house, at the Gatehouse. So basically, in order to do that, you have to go through the programs yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I went through the women's group, which was phase one, basically covers the initial steps, house rules, because you have to have some boundaries put in place first. And then it goes from isolation to belonging. That's like week two. Week three covers triggers, disassociation, flashbacks to grounding. Yes, I know. I sure. thought you might be interested there. And then week four is anger and emotional regulation. Five is addictions and relationships with relationships to abuse. So that's not just like drugs, alcohol. It can be food. It can be anything, right?
Right, right.
And then we cover 3 weeks quite solidly of the inner child work.
Okay.
And then weeks 9 is loss and grief. 10 is positive boundaries.
Important.
And then 11 is shame and guilt. Week 12 is resiliency and the sacred path, so spirituality or whatever you feel is right for you.
Sure.
And then 13 is like open discussion. So if people don't want to speak about a certain topic more, we give them that open space to speak a little bit more. And then we have weeks 14 is closure. And then week 15, we then have like a potluck and we just talk generally about whatever they want to talk about.
Very cool.
So that's phase one. Then we go through phase two, which covers mindfulness, pause. Oops. And then we're both involved in the partners group, which was one of the first groups that I was asked to do. And we do one-on-ones. And then recently I was asked to do a grief workshop, which can be grief from someone you've lost or grief of your inner child or whatever you're grieving. It can be of whatever. So that's like a 6-week program, which is new to the house.
That's great.
The writing one as well.
Yeah, which is it's a grief writing workshop. So you're actually processing quite deeper. It is a really good program, and that I would highly recommend.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, one of the other facilitators also does a group which is like reconciliation. Mm-hmm. So like people have lost their children or they might want to reconciliate with parents or something like that. And again, that's a really good group too. I think that covers pretty much all of what we do. It
covers a lot.
So. I was going to say, yeah, well, that's it. No big deal. Just all this stuff.
We are part of the Transformative Social Change Symposium.
Oh, yes. Colleges, universities.
Yeah, so we work quite closely with like Humber College and a lot of the
York
different
University,
other agencies.
Toronto University, all the different agencies.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
So it's, you know, we're quite involved in a lot of things really at the house, so.
I was going to say, yeah, you guys got your hands in like 20 different cookie jars.
We could say that.
It's a good thing I like cookies.
That's fair. That's fantastic, though. All of those different programs, because you really, like I had said, it sounds like a just a well thought out and well rounded plan to go into, especially when you're talking about all sorts of different traumas and the impacts that they can have on different people's lives. And then childhood sexual abuse is just one of those big things. I know that there's so many different programs and that out there, but this is one of those that just really stands out to me because it's like the whole thing. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, it's like a cookie pot, really.
It encompasses, it encompasses a little bit of everything for everyone. Yes. And then the way you broke down those programs was really helpful too. Thank you. For people who may have missed it while Stuart and Nicola were talking, if you go to, Stuart, what did you say, thegatehouse.org?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, yeah. thegatehouse.org.
You can
find out more about some of their programs there. And then they also have a Twitter account, The Gatehouse, correct?
Yes, we do. Yes.
Yeah. Gatehouse_these.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I had it written down. And that's what I thought it was. So Gatehouse, G-A-T-E, house, underscore, the, T-H-E. For those up in Canada who are looking for more resources, I would definitely recommend looking into them.
And by the way, we have internationally reached out quite a bit over the years. Yeah, we have quite a bit. And down South America, over in the UK, to the States to a certain degree. By the way, I should throw this in there as well. Every service we offer to Gatehouse is free.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I was going to say, too, because then people who volunteer there, are they people who have then gone through the program themselves?
Yeah. You have to do
volunteer it.
I'm with you. That is fantastic.
I'm doing my yoga teacher training, so I'm like the teacher things in my head right now.
Right.
the hardest thing we have to do at the house when you're facilitating at the house is say absolutely nothing.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're not there to tell anybody what to do.
Right.
You're not there
to
tell anybody what to do. You have to do it on your own.
Yeah, and for the most part, as a survivor, I absolutely detest being told what to do. So in actual fact, if anyone tells me what to do, it puts my back up almost straight away. And you know what? People that aren't in such a good place will often ask your advice.
Mm-hmm.
And I just turn around and say, I can't tell you what to do.
Right.
It's up to you what you do. I can't tell you what to do.
Yeah, and I think that's a very important piece of things too.
Yeah.
And sounds like you guys just are doing so much. My brain is going like 10 different directions right now because I'm like, I'm just going to shut up. I'm going to mute my mic and you guys just go ahead and chat.
See, there's the thing as well. It's like people that have been in unhealthy relationships as well have been in that space where they've been codependent probably most of their lives, either with a parent or with their partner or boyfriend or whatever. And so the people that really get a lot from it is the people that have like been in that space and then like, wow, to see the transformation over the weeks. And sometimes it can be like 3 weeks and you're like, wow, she really moved that week or he really moved that week, you know?
Yeah.
But to actually see that beautiful transformation is just wonderful. And like sometimes when we're doing the partners groups, that's just is it 6 hours?
Seven hours.
So like we do the partners group, which is like a one day. And like seeing how dysfunctional to a certain extent some people are in the mornings, how they are in the afternoons, it is a really beautiful program to facilitate in, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's amazing what a blind walk, a couple cups of coffee, a couple of donuts, and they're good to go.
That's
not
fantastic,
quite that simple,
though.
But yeah.
it's probably a little more than that, but.
It totally is.
By the way, that's a trust exercise, by the way.
Yeah. There's a blind exercise and they also do like the fallback exercise and a few other things. It's not quite that simple,
right?
But we get them to process what happens. A survivor will go out with the group of people that are non-survivors and they'll get to see it from a healthier survivor, how it feels if they do certain things, or they get that other side of the perspective.
They get the other perspective.
So like the non-survivor gets more of understanding of what it's like for the survivor, because if the survivor's stuck, they're too emotional, they obviously can't talk about it.
Right.
Because obviously we all know trauma silences voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're like us and we can't shut the front door.
Not anymore.
But it's nice for them to be able to see the other side.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then with the survivors, they actually go out also with a non-survivor and they get to see the other side too. So it's getting a better understanding from both sides where the other one's at. but the trust exercises are really, really important.
They're very important.
At first, you can almost see, oh, I don't want to do this, even from the expression on the face. And then once they've done it, you can see them processing, and it's like, ah, we're understanding it more now. And it's just a lovely program.
Well, I just call it, it's just part of the process of making connection.
When you're
in with strange people in a strange place, granted, we go into a beautiful place and go and do this, but still, you still have the people thing, right? So people are naturally going to be weirded out. Mm. So you try to lighten it up the best you can.
Well, we use humor if we can, don't we?
All as much as possible.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
There's two partners that do it. So there's a married couple, and one's a non-survivor and one's a survivor.
Okay.
But obviously with me and Stuart, we're both survivors. So
right.
Yeah, so they get it from both sides of the
different perspectives on that.
And it's very, very important for both sides, especially the non-survivor, right?
Absolutely.
Then to give them further support after that too, they can drop into the house twice a month. Again, this is for free, right? They could drop in twice a month and they can get support.
That's fantastic.
If they're really having a hard time.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I get a lot. I talk about that, no kidding, in our weekly therapy sessions with our own psychologist. That comes up every single week. So is this like a quote-unquote normal thing that people experience? Or did I overreact to that? Did I underreact to that? Because I always try and find the correct reaction for things because I just don't process in an overly emotional way things in my brain. I just don't process my experiences in an emotional way. And it's something that she constantly tells us and constantly repeats to me. And then the same thing for my husband. It's a big struggle because he isn't a survivor, so he really struggles sometimes with, wait, what are you talking about? What happened? I don't know what happened. You have to give me a minute. And it's just one of the tricky pieces of the DID. But all of these different things that you guys are talking about, these different programs, really, I want to urge our listeners that if you need to reach out, thegatehouse.org, this is a very important thing that this place is doing and that you guys are a part of in volunteering. Moving forward a little bit. Trigger warning. Childhood sexual abuse, as well as teen and adult trauma, will be discussed in this portion of the episode. Please understand that if you cannot safely handle this, turn off this episode and can come back at a later time. If you end up being in crisis, please reach out to your own therapist or nearest crisis hotline. You can do so by Googling. You can also check the content of this episode for further detail as well as resources if you are triggered. Once again, this is a trigger warning. Please turn off the episode if you cannot safely handle it from here out. Thank you. Have a great day, everybody. Do either of you want to share a little bit more about your own individual stories before meeting each other or before reaching the gatehouse?
I have no problem with this.
We're open about it. I mean, we talk about it online all the time.
Yeah,
so, not
just that, but I do in public is very, very, very much as well.
Yeah.
And I've had the opportunity, I'd love to share a little bit more of my story. I've had the opportunity of speaking in universities and colleges over the years too, which is really an interesting space to share this and which is really, really important because our youth need to understand, but I'm not going to go off on a rant and a tangent here now. I'm going to go back to what I'm talking about.
Really?
Understood. We do some of that as well. We've spoken at different colleges and that sort of thing as well, talking about association and trauma and DID specifically, but how to recognize different forms of trauma.
So important.
Yeah.
But my story now, and thank you for asking that. I'm really, really grateful and honored to share it because I'm hoping people, you know, will learn something from it or get something from it.
Absolutely.
Or what I'm saying is hope to have the courage to talk about it is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
But and being a male too, so which makes it even more of a twist. So. But this has been the beautiful thing about what I've done for the last 8 years at the Gatehouse is it's given me that kind of strength to talk about it as freely as I do now. And I don't need I still shed tears from time to time, but I've talked about it so much and it just gets easier and easier to talk about it, I guess. Mine started from very, very young age, being a boy. And it's funny because I just drew a picture about from the very first time, and with the shame that I used to carry, and obviously I don't have the picture right here now to show you, but I had it down at an art function show that we did, so I hope they got some money for it anyway. But anyway, I lived in Ottawa, and which is not far from you were when you were here.
Okay.
And actually, it's Canada's national capital.
Oh, okay.
But it started from a very, very young age, and I was around the age of six, going at seven, between six and seven, and my first perpetrator was a male, and it continued on for a few years, and then in that few year process, I had, put it this way, I don't need to be graphic, but I had a few abusers.
Right. Okay.
And including females as well. Mm-hmm. So needless to say, at that age, before I moved to another city, I was a very, very messed up young man. You should have seen me in school. I was a holy terror, I tell you. Always in trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm telling you. The strap, that was the days when they used to give straps, too. So you could just imagine.
Right.
But I probably deserved it anyway. But just because I was just a holy terror. But no, it was really frustrating as a child, and the worst thing about it is that I can still remember it to this day. Here I am in my middle to late 50s, mm-hmm. and I can remember it was like it was yesterday.
Yeah,
there's not a moment, a smell, a thought. None of that ever changes. All the kidding aside that I throw in there, that's just my way of dealing with my pain.
Sure.
But nevertheless, that still stays with you, all even after all this time, and it's easy for me to go into a situation like by water, as an easy description, or as an easy example, I should say, where I could be put back into that time, and I just go off in La La Land, I'm gone.
Yeah. You know?
And even to this day, it's only been through the years of what I'm doing that it's helped me kind of grab a hold of it. I gave you an example of when I first started getting my abuse. I haven't talked about through all the other years where I moved around from city to city. And how that affected me, where, again, it was just moving from home to home. It was the same thing. And the worst thing about it is, I should point out, it wasn't that I was put into family services. This is my family passing me around.
Yep.
Okay. Yes. So it might as well have been CSA or CSC, whatever. It might as well have been that, because it made no difference, because anybody I talked to who had that experience was very similar to mine. So, but that's what it was like for me. So that's how I can relate to people who have been shuffled around from home to home.
Yeah, absolutely.
That happened for many, many years, and until I fought back, and I was a very, very angry young dude, and used to get into trouble lots, and seen what jail's like, and mm-hmm. done my fair share of drugs and alcohol, and had enough trouble. I got lots of scars. I have lots of road maps. It's mm-hmm. been an interesting life, to say the least, from what it did to me and how I behaved and how I reacted over the years.
Yeah.
For me to be able to sitting here right now is really, really a big thing, because years ago, if I hadn't done what I've done by going to the gatehouse, I would probably either be dead or on the street. It's just that plain and simple, because that's how much I valued myself and really didn't really give a damn.
Right.
And that's just the experience behind it, as far as my experience is concerned. But so that's kind of my story. And
yeah,
there is a bright side, because I'm here talking to you right now.
Right.
It's hope. And just because you are a male or a man or whatever you want to call yourself, the opposite, whatever, you can still move forward and find a path.
Yeah, that's something that we talk about a lot on Twitter. And then when we do the Living DID Talks, the podcast now, all these different things, the one thing that we consistently say is that inconsistency kills, especially in your formative years when you're a child and you're developing. And 6, 7, you started to grow into who you were going to be because your brain was more fully formed. But then all these different traumas and then these inconsistencies and being moved around place after place, it damages who you are and any sense of identity you could hope to have. And then what you know is, well, I was a bad kid. But nobody really talks about why. And that's...
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the missing piece for me, because I'm sure that there are endless people that would say I was a terrible kid too, but nobody ever really asked why. And it's one of the missing pieces, and the problems is just one of those things that I think is just really needed to be discussed more within families, even just within families. Like if you have a child that's lashing out like this, and you're talking about a 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 year old even, well, that's not what you would call the standard of child behavior. Children are mischievous. They get into trouble. They want to see what they can get away with.
Mm-hmm. But
when you're talking about
exactly.
When you're talking about more of the extreme instances in that, nobody ever seems to ask why. And I don't know specifically why that is. I'm not sure if it's a fear thing, if it's they just don't think about it thing, or they just don't want to be bothered with it. I'm not sure. I think a lot of it comes down to laziness and somebody else will deal with it, the passing the buck thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Until it catches up with them.
Until it catches up with them, yeah.
What goes around comes around, as they say.
One can only hope.
Exactly. Yeah, so I guess my story.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, for me, I was living around domestic violence from day dot. So I guess from that, the trauma from that had already silenced my voice. So I was a really quiet child to the extent that I would have safe relatives come around the house and I wouldn't even say hello. Mm-hmm. That's how silenced I was already. When my brother did what he did, that was the sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. It was, I guess, I don't know how old I was, to be honest with you. I think I was about 9 or 10, but I don't know because I blanked it out.
Right.
And only so many of those memories have come back. So even though I don't remember everything.
Right. Dissociation. The brain's a powerful thing to protect itself.
Exactly. So I went through probably most of high school in disassociate mode.
Right.
So I totally relate to some of your experience. And then that wasn't my only perpetrator. So another one, I was locked in a shed because my friend asked me, a girlfriend, by the way, asked me if I'd like to go and have a look at a bike, which, you know, I thought would be quite innocent. So I walk in, but what I didn't realise is there was 3 youths behind me. One was in my class in middle school, another one was in high school, and the other one probably would have been in middle school as well. So I was locked in a shed and I had 2 people on me, but by this time I was already wearing jeans and a belt and I think I'd learnt Aikido at this stage. So it wasn't very easy for them at all, even though it was still assault, but they didn't get anywhere near as far as my brother did. And they basically gave up because I was too much of a fighter, but I still had no voice, couldn't say anything.
Wow.
So it was just my body that was fighting, but I didn't hurt either of them. I just held them away, basically.
Right.
So then they let me out the goddamn shed, but I don't know quite, well, I wasn't lucky because it was still traumatic, but
sure.
It's lucky that they let me out because there was someone that had bolted me in and couldn't get out.
Yeah.
So my friend was over there snogging her boyfriend. I don't know how old we were, but we were in middle school, so we weren't 12 yet.
Right.
So she was underage for a start, and she didn't come to my aid at all. So I think subconsciously, I didn't even remember this event. But when I was in high school, I totally picked on her. I did. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Only verbally. It was only verbal. It wasn't physical.
Right.
So, but she totally deserved it when I look back.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that. And then later on in life, I just started high school and then the paedophile came along. So, yeah, so there was that one. A few years later, I met probably which would be the worst abuser of my life because it lasted for 30 years.
Right.
But he was light at first. It was a slow process of abuse. And I was with a narcissist psychopath for 30 years. But I didn't really realise until I read a book called Why Does He Do That?
I've heard of that book. Yeah. Someone else had recently told me about it. That is supposed to be an amazing book. We haven't read
it yet. Excellent book. I highly recommend it. Because you know what? Even though I was realising some of the things, it totally cemented, oh my God, get out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was probably the worst one, to be honest with you. Because it just went on for so long, right?
It went on for so long,
years. So
yeah.
Effectively, I lived 46 years out of almost 48 years in abuse. So that's why my Twitter name is Living With Abuse. So there you go. Now I'm still dealing with parental alienation.
Yeah.
But I refuse to be in that space. As far as I'm concerned, I shine my light and that's it. I just keep going. So that's kind of my story or part of it anyway.
The both of you, those are some powerful stories. And then Nicola, to come out of that though, the other side, like you're living with abuse and mm-hmm. the different impacts that even today, you know, the different impacts that it had on your life for so long. But to come out the other side and to do all of the work that you both do for so many other people, it's a pretty astounding thing. So hopefully you can now live in peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
We're coming to the end here of this episode, and I just want to again thank Stuart and Nicola for sharing their experiences, their amazing stories, all the information that you can find at thegatehouse.org. Stuart, can you go ahead and share with our listeners where they can find you on social media?
Well, I primarily hang out on Twitter, which is I'm known as Unforgiven Warrior. That's what I call myself, and just follow me so. But well, it's got to be the male ego thing, I swear. It's only you only do. I'm only kidding, but you know what I mean.
Oh, the other thing you haven't shared. Sorry, I'm interrupting.
But no, go ahead.
Stuart also does a blog talk radio show himself.
So oh, really?
If you want to listen to anything about that, it's blogtalkradio.com/personaltransformation. And he does that most Thursdays at the house or wherever he wants to be.
Yeah.
And again, that's about anything related to sexual abuse or abuse, effectively, isn't it?
And by the way, I've been doing that for going on 5 years.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. You'll have to send me a link.
You know me as Unforgiven Warrior on Twitter, but for those, I'm not shy about my name. I don't really hide who I am other than just a lousy description on Twitter. But my name is Stuart Thompson. I'm not afraid to say who I am and what I do and where I am and all that sort of stuff. But there is a personaltransformation.ca. That is for anybody listening out there who would like to send in a piece to our blog of your about your healing journey. We would love to take it and post it if you're anybody's interested. Again, mm-hmm. That's another one I can send you a link on, personaltransformation.ca, and it's a blog posting. So if you want to post, there's not many posts on there because I haven't had a whole lot of time to do that. But given the opportunity, I this would be a perfect opportunity for our listeners out there. And I know lots of people write blogs on Twitter, tons and tons of them.
Yeah.
But I would love to have some of your pieces because I'm always reading different ones. It's hard to keep up with them, to be honest with you. There's so many of them out there.
There's so many.
And I don't want to offend anybody, but here's your chance. If you think that I haven't read it, please send in a transcript and we'll post it on personaltransformation.ca. So please don't be shy.
Don't be shy. Send it in.
That's where you can find me on social media anyway.
Well, thank you, Stuart.
Yeah, both parts of our stories are actually on that blog. Yeah, they're there.
Yeah, good to know. So what about you? Where can people find you on social media, Nicola?
On Twitter, I am Living With Abuse. I do have a website, livingwithabuse.org, and links are also to the Gatehouse on that site too. So.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you to you both again for being guests on the We and Me podcasts. Down in the description of the podcast, you're going to be able to find all of these different links and stuff to Stuart and Nicola and the Gatehouse and everything that it is that they're doing up there in Canada. Once again, thanks to you both for being on, and thanks to all of our listeners. We'll see you next Sunday for another episode. Bye, everybody.
Take care.
Bye.